This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, no mai, haere mai ki Wairarapa Film Festival and Film Talks On Air. My special guest for this month's show is Paul Meredith, who is the Pō Ārahi Deputy Chief Executive Māori at Ngā Taonga Sound and Vision. Tēnā koe, Paul.
Kia ora, tēnā koe.
Oh, it's really lovely to have you here as my special guest on the show. This is Film Talks On Air, which is a monthly broadcast and podcast for all people interested in the screen industry in Aotearoa New Zealand. And by way of an introduction to you, Paul, you've got over 25 years of experience in the kaupapa Māori activity. You've researched and published in areas of tikanga Māori, Māori identity, Māori history and treaty claims, with a particular focus on te reo Māori archival sources. And you've built up over all that time quite an extensive network across iwi and other Māori organisations. So that sounds like a pretty full and very rich career that you've had working in the kaupapa Māori space. Tell me about that, Paul.
Yeah, well, I'm getting on now. I think I wrote that about 4 years ago, so probably near 30 years of
continued service, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I had dreams of being an accountant, and then I think I mentioned that one time. I remember at my grandmother's house, and then she said a lawyer would be good in the family, so I went off and did a law degree. But I was always sort of passionate about history, and you know, she used to tell my grandmother used to tell me stories, and I can remember when my great grandmother died, and the family were going through all her her books and papers and that, and she was actually an English war bride. Yeah, her father had was a professor of music at Cambridge, and used to have a summer house where the Māori pioneered. Battalion soldiers used to convalesce, and struck up a relationship with my great-grandfather, and came from England, where she had servants, and she came up with for Nanny and a baby. They got married over there and had a baby, and came from, you know, there having servants and that to living in Hangatiki. So it was very much a culture shock for her, but she spent 70-odd years of her life out here. I remember going through those papers, always had a love for history, had the actual opportunity of being a student with Michael King when he had a residency at Waikato University.
Wow.
But I turned that down, so I had to pursue my law degree. Did a bit of teaching there, a bit of tutoring, a bit of lecturing. I was supposed to be doing a PhD, but I think the got hooked on those land court mints, which the university library just acquired, and spent many a month just reading those. Peter Hurunu Jones's papers came in. So he really just sort of loved history, and I've spent sort of been a bit of a bush historian, got involved in the treaty claim space of our iwi in Maniapoto, worked on the tribunal claim in terms of the history there, and ended up being privileged enough to write with Te Arawhiti, the historical account for the Maniapoto settlement, which has just only recently gone through. Worked with other iwi in that sort of space. Had the privilege of being a research fellow with the late Judge McBrown, working on a project on sort of bicultural laws filed here in New Zealand back in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s. And I mean, that was a real privilege, because we got exposed to people like Amy Evelyn Stokes and Joan Mitch, and others, many scholars around the world, around the country, that he brought together to sort of critique some of us younger sort of researchers and the papers that we were writing. And a book called Te Mata Pūnina that was that came out of that project. But yeah, so I sort of did all sorts of things, and still working a bit in that space on the side, in the treaty settlement space, and make a claims, and just I also just do it out of sort of personal interest too. So I can remember going with my uncle to take my grandfather Steph to a particular marae, Kawe Mate, and they said, Haramati, we tahai whare te po, welcome to the people who stole the house that night. And I remember going back and asking my grandmother what that was all about.
What does that mean?
Oh, sorry. It means welcome to the people who stole the house at night. And it was, my grandmother said, oh, they said that dad went and pulled the meeting house down and took it, you know, down at night.
Wow.
And, but she didn't really tell me much, but I ended up sort of researching it and found it was minutes, because it was a native land court case around it. And I remember taking the minutes back to my grandmother and sort of started reading them too. And she goes, oh, yes, they went after work because they had to borrow the lorry from the lines work. And I can remember standing there crying because I wanted to go. But my cousin Patty was sitting in the front. And she goes, said, oh, the judge said they were trying to resolve it out of court. She goes, oh, yeah, they had meetings up at Rangi Whakapumo's house. I only remember that because my cousin Sarah was moaning how she had to make cups of tea for the old people. But what she was doing, I had the written sort of history, and then it was helping spark her memory, and I was getting this complete picture of her, you know, her.
Memories and actually the present time lived experience is all sort of coming together there, aren't they?
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience. And then she goes, oh, that's enough, boy, because, you know, I was sort of drumming up all these memories for her, you know, so just give her a bit of space, you know, for all those people that she was remembering. But, yeah, it's always a privilege to sort of work in this in that space in history and help people, you know, reconnect with their whakapapa. I was getting people emailing me about, you know, for their genealogies and sharing those histories. And, yeah, so I've worked on a number of projects, being really privileged, really. And, of course, just the, I can remember talking with people like Joe Medge and, you know, Richard Benton, and they talked about how they spent a lot of time in the field doing the sort of, you know, field work and working with communities. I spent a lot of time working with manuscripts, and in particular Māori language manuscripts, and I spent a lot of time in the Turnbull Library and archives. But also now, just through this digitisation, I can remember working with newspapers where, you know, sit on the microfiche and all the hard copies, and, you know, going from page through page. But now you can just chuck in a term and every paper's passed, and, you know, yes, search up and froze up so much information and so much, you know, corded. Or when I first started, I'd go around the country because I was working on several projects and share my findings. But now when I sort of mention it, they, oh, they've already seen it, you know, because, you know, I think paper's passed and what the term was done there. And also, the original project there was the New Pupa Māori by Dr. Tataka Keegan at Waipata University when he digitised the Māori newspapers. It's just thrown up so much more scholarship that's helped us, sort of revise sort of Māori Pākehā encounter history in this country.
Yes, yeah, it's been a remarkable piece of work, and I've certainly learnt a lot about my family history by looking through papers past as well. So I really do, encourage our listeners to look that up online, papers past. It's remarkable, the digitisation processes that have gone into actually preserving and digitising and uploading our history and encounters. Mm. Mm. Now that takes us to the journey for you to the position that you have now as Deputy Chief Executive Māori at Ngā Taonga, which is the audiovisual archive for Aotearoa New Zealand. Tell us about your role there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Horianna Love, who was the had my role previously. I'd applied when she applied and she got the job. So, and then she got upgraded to CE, so I saw the job available, and so I applied for it. I mean, again, you know, it's I've done also work in sort of strategy and policy, and then so I was able to sort of marry that work with sort of a love of history too. Mm. And so I, you know, applied for this job. My job was, you know, to provide that Māori conscience, that Māori voice, and you know, we held so many Tonga Māori and unique Tonga Māori, a lot of real Māori Tonga. And so, yeah, my job is, you know, making sure we've got the right structures and systems in place to be able to look after those Tonga Māori.
Yes.
And, you know, so we talk about accessibility, but it's also really important that they're appropriately made accessible. You know, some things, you know, some families don't want necessarily made available to everyone. So we, you know, we work around that. We have a kaitiaki policy, so you know, legally we are required to talk with the copyright holder, talk with the depositor, but we also talk with whānau too to make sure that, you know, when we get third party requests, that they are comfortable with that material and those tonga being shown to them. And so, you know, it's that's the intent. And but you know, sometimes it works well. Sometimes, you know, it can be a bit of a struggle because everyone's busy. But you know, we try and do the right thing. And sometimes you've got like really last minute requests, so you sort of got to make the call. You know, it depends on, so you sort of look at who's asking and what the kaupapa is. But you know, the intent's there to make sure that things are appropriately made accessible and shared appropriately. But yeah, I mean, it's just amazing the collection that we have in Ngā Tonga, and it's just so privileged, really. To have this job, I mean, you know, particularly, you know, with a love of history, you know, watching old koha programs from back in the day.
Yes.
Even then, as a kid, I used to love the program Torture of Fire Mountain. I was sort of, those have just recently been digitized, those six episodes, so I was watching those. And, you know, I'm always watching something, oh, and I can, you know, see some of my friends, you know, when they were younger, so I'm just messaging them on Facebook, hey, just been, you know, watching you when you were at high school there. So always doing that. But yeah, one of the greatest joys we have is being able to share with whānau. We had Tūwhare Tour down last week, you know, and able to share some of that. And you see the excitement on their faces. You know, there is a thing to be said about nostalgia and well-being. And, you know, just be able to get in, you know, some sort of, that's my mora and all that. That might be my nanny. And, you know, so, you know, when we have showings here and there, people like to, you know, give away little gimmicks, you know, USB sticks. I said, we should just get branded tissues, because we take people on an emotional rollercoaster ride. You know, there'd be laughter and then, you know, tears. And, yeah, and a number of times I've made sort of people cry. You're sort of, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to make you cry, you know. But, you know, they're just seeing their old people or their, you know, their parents and, you know, just, and exactly, hearing their voices again. And so that's the joy, I think, of the work, is being able to share. So it's really important that these tongue aren't just sitting on our shelves and our vaults, that, you know, we're making them accessible as much as possible.
Well, I very much appreciate the partnership that we have with the Wairarapa Film Festival, with Ngā Tāone Sound and Vision. And that started from its creation. So the kaupapa for the Wairarapa Film Festival is that it is about celebrating local stories and local people and local film. And in the very first year that the Wairarapa Film Festival opened, which was in 2021, we screened one of the earliest films that actually featured a local Māori actress, the very remarkable Ramai Hayward, in Rewi's Last Stand. And you are exactly right. The nostalgia and the memories that go into sharing something like that, there is something incredibly powerful with being able to identify with what you see on a big screen, and it's the people, it's the places, and of course it's about tangata and it's about whenua. And to be able to share that with an audience and be able to talk about it and have a kōrero after the screening is just so incredibly powerful. Now, that can take place in multiple platforms, whether it's live in the audience, but also, as you say as well, it's the on-sharing through social media and being able to make that accessible in as many ways as possible. So that was deeply moving for me. We screened that in Regent Theatre in Masterton and at Circus Theatre in Martinborough, and that was really important to take it to South Wairarapa, because indeed Pirinoa is where Ramai Hayward was born. So yeah, it was very special to have whānau there. And we also, last year in the program, continued that partnership by screening Dame Gaylene Preston's Learning Fast, which is entirely filmed here in Masterton Whakaoriori at my old secondary school, Makaurau College. And again, to be able to screen that and have an audience full of, there were about 25 former teachers from Makaurau College, and there were former students from Makaurau College, and also the wider community. So to be able to bring that film here, we had Dame Gaylene Preston present to talk about her, to talk about the whole reason for her coming here and why it was important to film at Makaurau College. To have her there was really remarkable, but also we managed to track down a couple of the students that appear in that film that was shot in 1979-1980. And they actually travelled quite some distance to be here to actually speak 50 years later about that experience, but also to talk about, you know, what they had gone on to achieve in their lives. So the film becomes more than just what's recorded on that screen. It becomes this huge, amazing learning and sharing experience. So I am deeply grateful to the partnership that the Wairarapa Film Festival has with Ngā Taonga Sound and Vision. And we continue that into the programming for this year. And I just encourage all of our listeners to keep an eye on our upcoming announcements, because certainly we're all hard at work at getting the program prepared for May this year. And I can say it is really exciting what we've been working on, and I just cannot wait to talk more about that.
Sounds great. Yeah, I mean, the 160th anniversary of Ōrākau is coming up. I think Ngāti Pareitikawa Mangatoto, one of Rewi's hapū there, they're going to have a little symposium about it, and we'll be sharing Rewi's last stand with them so they can share that. And those are played Rewi in Rewi's last stand, and of course a lot of his grandchildren and other descendants will be there, and they'll be able to, you know, there's the film itself and its, you know, its genre, but also just to be able to listen to that tūpuna and hear his voice again.
Yes,
great for them. But yeah, no, it's always a pleasure to be able to share that those films, and then, you know, talk with the whānau about them and get their memories. I mean, I just had a guy, my mate's father, around home. He played for Auckland, number of games for Auckland, and he just asked, you know, did you have the Ranfurly Shield game against Wellington in 1974? And I managed to find it, and I was just sitting there watching with him. He was just talking about the game and talking about the players and how they'd passed on. And he sort of comes in, he's a hooker, comes out of a scrum. It looked like he had a bit of a biff there. And he goes, yeah, it was, yeah. So it was fun, you know. But I was talking to his son yesterday, and he said, oh, his father was just so overjoyed. And he keeps talking about, you know, that. And I think he was also on a boxer on some other show, which I managed to find. But yeah, and we did this all the time. I remember one when we showed the episode one of Tangata Whenua up in Raglan to the whānau there, Eva Rickard, whānau, Here Pōrongo. It was just before the cyclone. We were supposed to show it at the marae. Too many whānau had turned up. One guy had come up on his motorbike from all the way from Porirua for it, and, you know, managed to get back before the cyclone. He took off that morning. But, we moved up to the school because there were so many people, showed it on this big screen. And, it was just an amazing experience. I remember at the end, it sort of all went quiet. And then one of the ladies got up and just did this little pile sort of karanga-type lament. And it was just, wow, it was just amazing. But, yeah, watching that family there, they were laughing, and there was tears. And they were so grateful. But our team was so grateful. We took up our some of the guys who had worked on the film, and they were sort of buzzing out because they'd, now there's a boy on that episode. Well, he was there, but he was so shy he just hung up the back. But, you know, our guys had spent months working on that, and I used to go and visit them, and, you know, they were so meticulous in terms of restoring that film and digitizing it, you know, to the quality that it is.
Fantastic.
And they also, we actually gave them space to talk to the whānau about what they did and to share that. And the, you know, the whānau were so appreciative of their work. You know, not just be able to watch the film, but also to just understand what they did. We also took the Waikato episode to Coronation, King's Coronation, back in 2022 at Tūranga Waiwai, and did the same thing there. And again, the whānau enjoyed just as much the film as also learning about the work that went into it.
You know, yes, that's just an important part of the storytelling, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just take my hat off to some of our people who have that technical expertise at our work. And I used to go and visit them in the studios, you know, look at what, you know, nearly every day and see what they were doing. And, you know, that's, you know, one guy there would be there after hours because he just loved the job so much, you know. And, yeah.
Well, Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, to have this kōrero with you today. And I'm really looking forward to welcoming, some of the team from Natana Sound and Vision to the Wairarapa Film Festival, which is happening from the 23rd to the 26th of May. It's our autumn program that happens here in Masterton, Whakaoriori. And you get all the emotions here too, Paul. You get the whole lot. it's a really lovely celebration. So thank you, ngā mihi nui ki a koe, Paul. And once again, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Kia ora koe. Thank you.